just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic, common sense, compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Monday. We're starting another week. This is going to be a busy week. We got some shit going on. Mike Johnson is going to be under the gun as Speaker of the House. He's going to have to make some decisions on whether he's going to fund Ukraine or not. I believe he's going to do it. We'll talk more about that later. But when he does that, then there's the question as to whether or not MAGA and some of the other Republicans try to run him out of his job like they've promised to do. I'm not convinced they'll do that. There is nothing to gain for them doing that, and they really have nobody to replace him with. So we'll see what's going on with that. The other thing you've got to be considering this week, it's not something happening this week, but it's something happening a week from today, and that is the start of Donald Trump's criminal trial in the Manhattan District. What that means is all this week, Donald Trump is going to be, well, what I call my granddaughter, you know, when you're swimming or you're trying to catch her and she's wiggling out of everything, call her a little wiggle worm. Well, that's what Donald Trump's going to be this week. He is going to be absolutely flailing, freaking out, trying to find a way to avoid going to court on Monday, April 15th. Now, the interesting thing is, This judge, Judge Juan Marchand, has been resistant to everything. Donald Trump's got no play with this judge. He's got nowhere, but he keeps trying to do things like get the judge to recuse himself because of his daughter, which is absolutely ridiculous. He's trying to get it dismissed. He's trying to get it delayed. Nothing is working. And this week is going to be a tough one for Donald Trump. He's got other issues, bigger issues that we'll also talk about. But this one is going to make him nervous because for all intents and purposes, when he goes to this criminal trial and say it goes two and a half months max, when he comes out of there with a criminal conviction, a felony conviction, that changes everything. It changes the prospects for the election. It changes the prospects for his freedom. It changes the prospects of him trying to divert, distract, or delay his shit. This will kind of start the avalanche. You remember how this all started? Remember when we were waiting for the indictments? We'd all say, when is he going to finally get indicted? When is he going to finally get indicted? And everybody seemed to be so nervous about doing that. Well, up until the time Alvin Bragg said, fuck it, I'll indict him in the Manhattan District. And then what happened after that? A lot of people indicted him. Four different jurisdictions indicted him. So this week is going to be the week where Donald Trump is freaking the fuck out. And it's going to be crazy, could be a little dangerous, but it's going to be motherfucking entertaining. I guarantee you that. Well, this is a big day for a lot of people in that we have the total eclipse of the sun today. Now, when you listen to this, it may have already happened or it's yet to come, whatever it is. But what I'm amazed about with this total eclipse is how many people are freaking out about it. You go on TikTok or other platforms and everybody's going, oh no, the total eclipse. It's end of times. The grid's going to go out. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And I have to explain to folks, I did on TikTok and I'll do it here too. I'm 64 years old. This isn't the first total eclipse I've seen. I think there was one in 2017. I think there was one back in 77 when I was 17 years old, one back in 68. This has happened before. And previous to social media and all this 24-hour news cycle shit, nobody really thought much about it. They just said, well, this is something that happens, a natural occurrence, and it's kind of cool. We'll watch it for a few minutes or hear about it for a few minutes, and then we'll go on with our life, which is always the case. So anybody concerned about what may happen because of this total eclipse is you're going to be disappointed or you're going to be very happy because nothing's going to happen. It's just a normal occurrence, a natural occurrence, and just fucking relax about it. And it should tell you a lot about these people that come out onto the social media and tell you and make these predictions. When they make a prediction like this, please just set it aside. People are just trying to stir things up, trying to get attention for themselves. And we need to stop believing this bullshit. It's absolutely ridiculous. Remember when we, well, some of you may not because you're too young, but when we went from 1999 to 2000, oh, the world was going to end. What's going to happen? And the fact of the matter is nothing happened. People are looking for problems. People are looking for things to be afraid of. And there ain't nothing to be afraid of, especially with the total eclipse. Now, I will say something. I learned a little lesson. Well, I don't really learn too many lessons, but I'll acknowledge the lesson. When I did the TikTok, I told a joke, as I have occasion to do. And I was saying, yeah, you know, the total eclipse isn't going to do anything. In my past, it's never done anything. And I said, I mean, hell, we even had Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. Now, that was fucked up, but we survived that, right? Just a stupid joke. Well, I got a lot of people coming to me saying, hey, I like that fucking song. What are you doing? I go, dude, it's a joke. The song was okay. It's a joke. Didn't you hear anything else I said? And of course they didn't. There are people who are a little thick out there. And if I have the audacity to say I don't like a song that they happen to like, oh my God, cancel me. Go ahead, try, motherfucker. Now, there wasn't that many mad about it, but a few people jabbed me about it. And it's a joke. Fucking joke. Jesus. Anyway, we have some emails as we commonly do. So let's get to them. First one starts out, I found your podcast a few months back. Great show and content. The most disturbing thing about all this Trump bullshit is some really smart people have bought into it, like I was just saying. I work in the computer engineering field for 25 years, met a lot, if really, really smart, I thought, engineers. I spent months first trying to understand, then months trying to educate my lost engineer friends. Then I got mad. I started calling out the bullshit directly with the fact-laden, profanity-sprinkled takedowns, much like your podcast. Anyway, my shock and surprise at how smart people could be so hoodwink has resolved into activism and even louder voice. I'm not suffering any more fools. I'm too old for that. Love your show. We are brothers in the same effort. Peace. I don't think you signed it with a name. Maybe I missed it. Anyway, thank you for that email, and I understand your fight. It's hard to argue with people whether they are smart or whether they are dumb. If they are caught up in the cult, you can't just reason with them. You can't just give them facts. I think what's going to have to happen is after we go past the election in November, Donald Trump gets beat. The Republicans get beat. Donald Trump gets convicted of crimes. There's going to be a lot of people embarrassed. Some people will acknowledge that and step back and try to improve their lot after having been directly behind Donald Trump. But there's going to be a bunch of people, a base, the base of maybe 25% that will never believe anything, no matter how clearly it's been proven. So you really can't allow for that. All we can do is kind of neutralize them, send them back under the rocks and tell them to fuck off. They were there before Donald Trump. They'll go there after Donald Trump. And until somebody rubs that genie's lamp again, they'll fucking stay there. All right. Next one says, hi, Mike. I want to say how I appreciate your voice and that I listen to you every morning before work. I live in Northern California where we have quite a few red patches, unfortunately. And you help me keep my sanity. 47 years old, and I supervise these two boomers who are Trump humpers, and they sit right outside my office and say the weirdest shit. Just on Friday, they were saying how gas prices are going to be $7 a gallon by the end of summer because Biden closed some pipeline. I assume that is what Fox News was saying that morning, probably to cover up the positive job rate report once again. Yeah, they love to go to the pipeline. Joe Biden didn't close any pipeline. That's just more bullshit that the likes of Fox News and OAN and Hannity and whoever the fuck spew out there just to try to create some lies that people will believe. And unfortunately, there is a faction of dumb people that will believe it. They don't look into it. They don't investigate it. They just believe whatever they're fucking told. The email goes on to say, you have helped me just laugh at them. I never engage with anything political with them because no amount of facts will ever change their thought process. Plus, they rarely actually direct any conversation to me. They just talk or whisper about stupid shit. I just can't wait to see Biden win and how mad they're going to be. They never mention Trump anymore, which is funny, but they just hate on Biden. And being that I'm not in a cult, I could care less what they say about him, but the amount of disinformation they believe is psychotic. I try to have fun with it when I can, like when they told me I wouldn't be able to have ceiling fans in my house anymore. So I said, oh yeah, like the gas stove they're taking out of my house too. You all are ridiculous. They don't even know what to say when you push back. I can't wait for them to retire or leave California since they hate it here so much. I wish they were rational boomers, but unfortunately, they are insane ones. I have so many stories with these weirdos, as I'm sure you can imagine. Didn't you say you were their supervisor? Fire those dumb fucks. Anyway, she wraps it up by saying, I just have to say, without you, I would probably be going nuts. So thank you for doing what you do. It really makes a difference, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, thank you for saying that. it's ironic that you say, without me, you'd probably be going nuts. Because I think my wife would say just the opposite. Because of you, I'm going fucking nuts. But it's much appreciated. All right, the next one says, hi, Mike, or hey, Mike. I want to give you some kudos for your interview with Tammy Wilson. The discussion about Democratic messaging was especially interesting. It can't be underestimated. It needs to be simple and ruthless. Fuck the high road. Republicans need to rue the day they stuck with him. He needs to be gone along with his embarrassing Trump stores. I wish I could do a better job articulating my position because being a guest on your show would be a high point of my life. Thanks. Gary from Massachusetts. Well, Gary, we all have different levels of articulation, but we all have points of view and we all have opinions and they are all important. So whether you're a master orator or you're just an average Joe talking about stuff, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We're having a conversation amongst people. That's all it is. You don't have to, excuse me, be practiced or be especially talented in speaking. All you have to do is sit down and have a conversation. You can do that. You've done it every fucking day of your life, I'm sure. So if you want to be on the show, send me an email, come on the show. That's all it really takes. All right. I listen to your TikToks all the time. I love it. I'm wondering about Trump's golf courses in Scotland. Has the Scottish government taken them back? I don't believe they've taken them back, but I think they're threatening to do that. There are some legal issues in England and in Scotland, so hopefully they will. The next part of the email goes, are you a Swede? Well, I do have some Swedish in me. Swedish, Norwegian, German mostly, maybe French, Canadian, some other stuff like that. But Sweden, Norwegian mostly, and I kind of relate to the Swedish side more. I think both my sets of grandparents had more Swede in them than anything. He goes on to say, my dad was born in Eagle Bend, Minnesota. He also said there are more Swedes in Minnesota than in Sweden. Keep up the great work. I really enjoy listening to you. Take care, Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. I don't know if there's more than in Sweden, but there is a lot of Swedes in Minnesota. Johnsons, Swensons, Swansons, Carlsons, Hansons. There's a lot of them here. There's a lot of them. You know, actually, those with the Swedish background are pretty good people. I know that Swedes are typically known to be a little stoic. Sometimes that's the case here, sometimes not. We also have a lot of Finnish people, too, from Finland. Thank you, Glenn. Next one says, hey, Mike, just thought you'd like to know that Trump is having a rally near me. No, I'm not going. You couldn't pay me enough. Anyways, it's a local fire hall that holds 300 people. $2,500 a ticket. We sometimes play bingo there, so you get the idea how fancy it is. And then there was a link to the event. I can't wait to see the coverage on that one. Love your show. Thank you very much. You're having a campaign rally, and you're charging people to come in. Well, that's weird. You're already having trouble getting people coming to the rallies for free. Now you're going to charge them $2,500 a ticket at a fire hall? Wow. I'm sure that's going to pan out well. All right. Next one up. Hi, Mike. Jason, the Canadian living in Orlando, Florida. Again, I hope you're doing well. I do not have much to comment on politically because you and your guest have been doing a fantastic job covering and dissecting it. I will say DeSantis has not really made much news here in the Sunshine State since his battle with Disney is just embarrassing as fuck for him. Although I have some Trump DeSantis humpers on my social media saying that DeSantis won against Disney. Yeah, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. As you have discussed on your podcast, there is no changing these people's minds, so there is no point in arguing with them. On a different note, I recently took my family to Atlanta for spring break, and one of the things we did there was the Civil Rights Museum. It was a very eye-opening experience, and I would encourage your peers to put that on their bucket list. It is amazing to see how far we've come in terms of human rights and how much more we still need to go. I agree. That is all. Please keep on doing what you're doing, and a huge shout-out to all your wonderful guests. If you ever find yourself in Central Florida, I would love to do an in-person podcast episode with you. Take care, Jason. Actually, I'm going to Southern Florida in May. We're going into Miami, but we're going to go down to the Keys only because I've never seen it before. My brother's never seen it before. We thought we'd spend a couple days there. Now, in the winter months, when we go down to Savannah, sometimes we do have to fly into Orlando to get to Savannah because my wife's airline doesn't fly directly into Savannah during the winter. So maybe then we can connect up. All right. The next one says, hi, Mike. I was so happy to hear that you and your wife were going to travel to see the eclipse, and I'm sorry that fell through due to the weather. I was excited because me and my husband are driving to Cleveland, Ohio. It's only about a 3-hour drive for us since we are in Michigan. I've never traveled for an eclipse, but I'm happy to do something fun on the spur of the moment. In honor in being in Ohio today, I must say it was nice that you hosted Tammy Wilson, the Democrat running against Jim Jordan. Like you've been saying, it's not just Trump we need to worry about. It's all his enablers. We need to bring attention to all these critical races and get these corrupt politicians out. It's not just radical politicians. It's all Republicans because they are complicit and are supporting the craziness and only policies that benefit the rich. After the redistricting in Michigan, I ended up with a Republican representative who's supposed to be a moderate because Joe Biden won this district. But these days, there's no moderate Republicans because they all fall in line and support all the horrible policies. I've called, I've written, but I know he won't do the will of us constituents, so I'm just hoping people come out in droves and vote his ass out. We really need young people to pay attention and come out and vote. It's their future that's at stake. Thank you again, Mike, for all you do. Longtime listener, V. Thank you very much, V. Yeah, that's what it amounts to. You know, we have the courts slow walking a lot of stuff. Donald Trump wiggling his way out of different things. I think that's going to end with the Manhattan District case. I'm hoping that's the case. Even if it were delayed, it couldn't really be delayed for more than a couple of days or maybe a week. But I don't even think that's going to happen. I think Judge Juan Marchan has had enough. He knows exactly the game that Donald Trump is playing, that it's all about delay, and he's just not fucking having it. You know, he can have his, Donald Trump can have his ways with some judges, not this one. This one isn't playing. And I think Donald Trump knows that, and I think that's why he's going to be so freaked out over the next week, getting ready to have to go to this trial. You know, and again, what I've said before about this trial is interesting. He doesn't have an option to show. I mean, the other ones he showed up because he wanted to intimidate. Well, he's going to show up and he's not going to intimidate anybody. And if he plays his stupid fucking games, it'll be interesting to see what Judge Juan Marchand does. All right. Donnie's got a lot of problems these days. And as I've told you before, because he's in such a tight spot, because he's cornered and because he has no way out, he's going to try a lot of things. He's going to try everything. He's going to take stupid risks because he probably figures, what does he have to lose? And that brings us to the topic of his bond. Questions raised by New York Attorney General Letitia James about the man who stepped into a finance Donald Trump's $175 million appeals bond took center stage on MSNBC's The Weekend on Sunday morning, with even more questions being raised. See, that's the thing. This bond company that put up the bond didn't include its financial statement. A lot of people think, oh, it's just a mistake. No, it wasn't a mistake, because when they put the financial statement in there, when they finally corrected that, they found out, well, they don't even qualify to put up this bond. Whatever the bond is can't be any more than 10% of what this company has. As it turns out, $175 million is actually 30% of what this company has, not to mention the fact they aren't even licensed to give these kind of loans or bonds in the state of New York. So they opened up a Pandora's box. They tried to slip one by, but they got caught, and now they look pretty stupid. They look like a bunch of liars. You know, Donald Trump's lawyers said, yeah, there's no way he can get the $454 million bond. And then this clown, this huckster that is the bondsman apparently, said, oh yeah, we were looking at doing that too. So somebody's lying. And courts don't really cotton to that too well if you lie to them in court. Now, sitting down with co-host Alicia Menendez, Michael Steele, and Simone Sanders Townsend, MSNBC legal analyst Lisa Rubin noted that Don Hankey, the bond guy, chair of the LA-based Hankey Group and owner of Knight Specialty Insurance Company, has given conflicting answers about collateral his company accepted when putting up the bond for Trump's financial fraud conviction appeal. See, that's what they've got to do. They've got to, now that they're digging into this thing, they've got to ask this guy and this company, well, what's Donald Trump's putting up as collateral? He didn't have to release that before, but now that there's some question of the validity of this company, they're asking the question, and they're going to have to answer the question. And it sounds like this guy's having trouble answering the question the same way every time. That's a bad sign. That tells me the motherfucker's lying. So why is he lying? This is just a scam. This is just a scam to have Donald Trump slip through the cracks like he always does. And this is what I mean about him doing everything and anything and taking risks. This was a calculated risk for him. And as so often the case, Donald Trump made the wrong fucking choice, because once this is exposed as a company that's not legitimate or not qualifying for posting this bond, Donald Trump is fucked. He may be given a few days to get another bond, but this guy was scraping the bottom of the barrel. Where do you go from there? Where do you find somebody who can qualify to do it and is willing to give Donald Trump a shitload of money with virtually nothing to collateralize it? Now, speaking with the host, she explained Don Hankey has given a number of interviews. He's been surprisingly forthcoming with a number of outlets, including our own, but his precise statements have differed a little. But he told one outlet it was all in cash. I remember that. Another, it was cash and a little bit of investment-grade bonds, but he couldn't quite remember. Yeah, you know, those $175 million bonds, they get confused with all the other business. You wouldn't ever remember that. He went on to say, if somebody pledged collateral to me and I wasn't usually in the surety bond business, I would sure as heck remember what the collateral looked like if I was going to loan them or essentially put up for them $175 million. James has reasonable question to ask, she elaborated. And that's a good point. Letitia needs to know, you're going to put up a bond that's bullshit, that isn't backed, that isn't protecting the winner of the case, the state of New York. Delving deeper into what would happen if Trump lost his appeal and had to come up with close to a half a billion he was penalized, Rubin pointed out the dilemma Hanke and Trump would both face. Trump has to cover the difference, and how he does that remains a mystery, the legal analyst told the panel, in part because it's not scrutinized for the rest, as Chuck Rosenberg just pointed out. Now, if and when James wins on appeal to the full satisfaction of the $454 million, and by the way, that will grow by day by day with the post-judgment interest, if upheld on appeal, it will be substantially larger than by the time we reach the judgment months in the future. See, that's the thing. Donald Trump wants to delay this, but every time he delays it, what's it cost him, $100,000 a month, $110,000 a month? Yeah, you can't win either way there, Donnie. Now, she will have to figure out where Donald Trump's assets are, which of them she can most quickly seize or force upon should they fail the appeal. Many of them are already pledged to other lenders. For example, we know that Axos Bank, in which Don Hanke is the largest individual shareholder, has $225 million of outstanding loans to Donald Trump on just two properties, the commercial portion of Trump Tower and the Doral Golf Course. See, that's the thing. Everybody says, oh, he has all kinds of properties. Well, he does, but they're mortgaged to the fucking hilt, so there really isn't any equity in there. So he could have a $100 million Trump Tower, which I don't think it's worth that much, but if it was, and it's mortgaged at $80 million, that means he's really only got $20 million of equity. And there's some question of whether you can even get at it once you have a mortgage like that on it. I don't know. Letitia James has got to protect the state of New York and get a hold of this shit as quickly as possible. The idea that Donald Trump can come up with some bullshit bondsman and for the infraction, just get more delay. That's the problem I'm seeing with the judicial system in New York. You reward him for being an asshole and being corrupt and criminal and scamming by giving him more time to fix his situation. Honestly, if this is his go-to choice in this situation, I don't think he has many other options at this point, and he may be stuck getting liquidated. All right, Donald Trump, Lauren Boebert. Hold on a second here. Donald Trump, Lauren Boebert, Tim Scott, and numerous media outlets are among those who have parroted the line that Donald Trump raised $50 million in a one-night fundraiser. But not everyone is convinced it's true. Trump made the claim on his Truth Social platform Saturday, and on Sunday, he shared a Breitbart article with the title, Trump Smashes Biden's Fundraising Record with $50 Million Saturday Night Haul. Now, I talked about this on TikTok, and when I heard that he had a $50 million night, I thought, well, now that sounds a little fishy. If you remember, 7 to 10 days ago, Joe Biden had a fundraiser, a record breaker, $25 million. Bill Clinton and Barack Obama were there, and that was legitimate. It was at Radio City Music Hall. Now, you have to think that Donald Trump is all about perception and performance. And when he heard Joe Biden broke that record, oh, I bet you his butt puckered up like nobody's business. He doesn't like the idea that somebody's more popular or can garner more money. Those are the points that he thinks are most important. So the thing about it is that immediately after that, he started thinking he has another fundraiser coming up, which he did just last night or the night before. And surprisingly, a guy who's having trouble fundraising, who's fundraised half as much as Joe Biden in the last quarter, miraculously comes up with a record breaker in this fundraiser. And miraculously, it's double, exactly double what Joe Biden raised. Now, you're hearing this all over the media. People are saying, oh, he broke the record. He broke the record. But my question is this. Where did you get that information? Where did you get those figures? Was it Price Waterhouse? Was it an accounting firm? Was it campaign officials? Where did you get that? Did you see the bookwork? Because let's be honest, it is kind of weird. Now, the fact of the matter is where they got this information is suspect at best because they got it from Donald Trump and his campaign staff. That's where they got the figures. So then the media goes out there and reports it as if it's true. But we got to remember that in all of Donald Trump's business career, all the time he was president of the United States and all the time post-presidency, here's what we know about Donald Trump. He is a fraud. Everything he does is bullshit or lies. None of it is true. He will come up with saying things just to give the right impression. Oh, sure, I'll testify with the January 6th committee and then never do it. Donald Trump is notorious for lying. And there's no way this is true. He's got another campaign rally coming up, or a fundraising event coming up. And I'll bet you, just knowing how Donald Trump thinks, I'll bet you that he breaks another record and it's $75 million. Well, let's see if that comes out in the campaign, or does it all get drained to his legal expenses? Like I said, he didn't get $50 million. And then it came out later, well, we didn't get the cash. We've got people promising, notes of promise, that they're going to give that much over a period of time. So he's out screaming and yelling, and he knows he's going to have to prove this at some point in terms of campaign finance documents that he has to turn in. But he's not going to be able to do that because it never fucking happened. But here's something to consider. Let's say Donald Trump did actually raise $50 million. Why it's suspect is this. Now, in the last quarter, Joe Biden has raised $190 million. 96% of that money came from small donors, donating less than $200. That tells me there's about, well, tens of thousands of people that support Donald Trump and gave, or not Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and gave as much as they could. That shows a lot of support. Now, in this fundraiser where they're alleged to have gotten $50 million, there was only 117 people at that event. That means that every person in that event would have had to have given at least $425,000. How likely is that? Do you think they wrote a check? Do you think they had a bag full of money? No. They said, oh, sure, Donnie, we're going to give you the money unless shit goes south and then you're not getting it. One thing I learned in business, promises don't mean shit. Things change quickly. You get a felony conviction and people say, I'm not doing that. When you're in business and you're doing a deal, the first thing you always do before you do anything else, get the money. You get the money. If you don't get the money, something's going to get fucked up. You're not going to get the money. It's real easy to say, oh, yeah, Donnie, I'll give you $500,000. But when it comes down to nut cutting time, guess what? People fucking bail. They get nervous, especially when you've got a candidate like Donald Trump who is circling the toilet as we speak. Yeah. He can say this stuff, and he knows he doesn't have the money. He knows he's not going to get the money. But his ego wanted to push it in Joe Biden's face, and he was willing to say anything. And that's what he did. Now, he'll be embarrassed down the road, but he doesn't care about that. All he cares about is now. And Donnie, people are questioning what you're suggesting. People are not believing you anymore because you're a flat-out pathological fucking liar. But keep it up. Keep it up. You're still broke as a bitch. You still got half as much money as Joe Biden. And all the money is not going to the campaign. It's going to your legal fund. And guess what? That legal bill is going to get higher and higher every fucking day. You're circling the bowl. just a matter of time. All right. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
On every show, I tell you that if you have questions, comments, or complaints, just reach out to me at rationalboomer@gmail.com. Those emails come directly to me, and your input is crucial to this show. The show is called Rational Boomer Podcast, but that's not to suggest that I'm the Rational Boomer. I am not. I am simply a Rational Boomer. All of you are Rational Boomers. Anybody of a like mind is a Rational Boomer. Strength comes in numbers and not through an individual. You have perceptions and insights that may have never occurred to me. This isn't a show about me. This is a show about us and gaining a voice in this country. There's 70 million baby boomers in this country. Yeah, I know the younger folks would prefer to push us aside. Every generation has done that. But we are a formidable force if we can get together and speak in one voice. This is why I encourage you to let your friends and family know about the Rational Boomer Podcast, not to satisfy my ego, but to give us more power, a stronger voice, to help right this ship we call the United States of America. Lastly, I'm offering the opportunity for my listeners to be on the show. Now, it could be 2 minutes, it could be a half hour, it could be the whole fucking show. I'd much rather have you on the show than somebody pimping a podcast or a book. I want to hear what you think. I want to know what you know. The Rational Boomer Podcast is all about us.
As I mentioned before, Donald Trump is in kind of a pickle. Everything around him is starting to fall apart. Nothing is working. He's got a criminal trial coming up in a week. He's got a bondsman that is looking like Mr. Haney from Green Acres, nothing but a scam. And he's got Truth Social, which is in some deep trouble. And there might even be some illegalities in how this was put up for a stock offering. So he's got all kinds of problems. And in doing that, like I said, when you get a rat that's cornered, and it's an appropriate comparison with Donald Trump, they start doing anything. They start doing everything. They start flailing. They start doing crazy shit. They start taking ridiculous risks. Donald Trump recently filed an intriguing letter in his New York criminal case involving alleged hush money payments, according to a legal analyst, Lawfare's Roger Parloff, who recently reported that Judge Cannon had created a secret docket. Now, that's interesting. In the process of overseeing the Trump case over classified documents, flagged the letter on his social media account. He said the letter was made public on April 3rd. And filed March 19th. All right. This is what he said. If Trump takes the stand, the people would seek to cross-examine him about 13 different court determinations about him, as well as the underlying facts that led to those, Parloff wrote on Sunday. We don't know which prior court findings the people seek to introduce. If the letter is imprecise, the people might also be seeking to put in other kinds of findings like the January 6th committees. In any case, Trump seeks to bar them all. Yeah, anybody that can say anything against me and any evidence that can be used against me, we need to bar that stuff. We can't let that in. Jesus. Now, Parloff further notes that the case in New York calls for judges to hold a pretrial Sandoval hearing where defendants can find out what evidence of the prior criminal vicious or immoral acts the judge would let in if the defendant elects to testify. Yeah, I'm going to testify unless you ask me hard questions. Then I'm not going to testify. Donnie, it doesn't matter if you testify. You're fucking done. Now, the judge is not supposed to allow in acts offered just to show the defendant's bad character or criminal bent. Also, judges are supposed to avoid deterring the defendant from taking the stand, potentially depriving the jury of material evidence. On the other hand, Parloff said, the judge can let in acts to prove the defendant's lack of credibility, veracity, or honesty. That shouldn't be hard. Or to demonstrate willingness to put self-interest above the interest of society. Well, I think that's pretty much been proven. Those two categories neatly encapsulate virtually Trump's entire life, he added, before estimating what the judge will ultimately conclude. He said, my wild guesses are that Judge Marchand would keep out guilty pleas of Trump's companies, technically not Trump. E. Jean Carroll stuff, inflammatory. Trump U settlement, not adjudication. J6 and Ukraine, inflammatory, cumbersome, not just not adjudicated. He also said, but allow in persistent fraud and charity fraud adjudications and most underlying findings. National security attorney Bradley Moss said Trump likely won't testify anyway. I mean, that would be the stupidest thing in the world for him to do, is to testify. Of course, he's one of the stupidest humans alive, so I guess it wouldn't be that surprising. Now, Trump's lawyers have every right to bring this challenge under the relevant case law, but is there anyone who realistically believes Trump would ever take the stand? No way, not a chance. And I'd have to concur with that. That's just asking for trouble. I mean, Donald Trump's already in trouble. He's already going to lose the case. Donald Trump will certainly go up there and either lie under oath or say something absolutely stupid and implicate himself in something they aren't even talking about, because that's who Donald Trump is. So I don't expect to see him. It's like I said about all this other stuff. Oh, I want to testify in front of the J6 committee. Didn't do it. Oh, I have a new healthcare plan. Never saw it. I'm going to do infrastructure. Never did it. This is what Donald Trump does. He says things that he thinks people want to hear, but he never has any plans in following it up. Now, earlier I was talking about Trump Media and Truth Social. Everybody was so excited about that. Donald Trump's got this IPO. He's going to open it up. He's going to be worth $6 billion. Thank God Donald Trump has been saved. Well, I think everybody knew it was a little fishy. Why it was opened on the stock exchange, I don't even know. Did they not look into this? Did the SEC not check it out? Because we found out after it did become an IPO that Donald Trump's True Social over the last year lost $58 million with only $4 million in revenue. Even an idiot like me knows that's not a very healthy company. That's not a company that can sustain itself for any period of time. And in fact, some auditors who have looked at this have said, yeah, I don't know if you can keep this open. Well, then, of course, it gets released into the stock market. It raises pretty quickly, and now it's dropping like a rock. You remember who the CEO of Trump Media is? Here's a blast from the past you probably don't remember, but he was another Trump-lefuck goofball. Remember Devin Nunes? He said the parent company of the former president's True Social platform is well-positioned to turn profitable in response to recent criticism. Well, you better hurry, motherfucker. Last year you lost $58 million, and it ain't going well now. All the profits and values that they predicted was based on 5 million users in 2024 and 10 million users in 2025. And it was 10 million users in 2024 and 20 million users in 2025. Well, you're not even close. Some say it's under a million, some say it's under 5 million, but nonetheless, it's not even close to your predictions, to your goals. So if you haven't reached your goals, how are you going to make any money at all, especially when you lost as much as you did yesterday or last year? So it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all bullshit. Devin Nunes gave up his job in Congress to be the CEO of a shithole company that's going to go down in flames. Not surprised. Devin Nunes isn't much brighter than Donald Trump. Now, Fox News host Maria Bartiromo asked Nunes on Sunday Morning Futures when he expects the company to turn profitable after recent regulatory filings showed Trump Media and Technology Group losing $58 million in 2023. Now, the filing showed that the company, which went public last month, generated about $4.1 million in revenue last year, with slightly more than $750,000 coming in during the fourth quarter. And of course, Nunes has an excuse. Well, Nunes said, the company was overregulated when asked about the filings and said the company was well-positioned because it has no debt. The company went public last month after finalizing its merger with the blank check from the company Digital World Acquisition Corp after more than 2 years of delays. So if you look at the cost that we built through social, our beachhead against big tech, our an impenetrable beachhead that everybody said couldn't be done without using big tech companies, that was built for a fraction of what many of these big tech dinosaur companies were built from. Well, that's true because you went half-ass on everything. The platform you're on is open source, I think. Yeah, you did it on the cheap, and the results are showing. Nobody's going there. It's a shit show. It's basically a right-wing, what do they used to call them? The boards. You know, remember when you used to go on the internet and they had all these boards and you would talk to people? It's just all selling crypto and stupid shit like that. Anyway, he went on to say, so even if you take the ridiculous cost that it took us to get to this point, we are well positioned. Yeah, you're always looking good for the future, but right now we suck shit. Why are we well positioned? Because we have no debt. Donald Trump's involved with something and there's no debt. Well, there may be some debt because you lied to a bunch of people when you put this up in a public position. And the SEC may come back to you and say, that shit's illegal. You're going to have to pay some motherfuckers back. He goes on to say, we're coming out of this with no debt, a platform that really works really, really well, that communicates to millions of people, and then we have a $200 million in the bank, he added. Yeah, that sounds... But your stock is dropping like a rock. You've shown no profit. And now we're finding out, much like this bond guy, that there's a lot of fishy shit going on. Remember, there's two people with True Social, or maybe it was Digital World, either one. Two of them have already pled guilty to stock fraud. These are two people working with you. But you look in good shape, yeah, I'll bet. He did not say when he expects the company to turn profitable during the interview Sunday. Nunes stepped down from representing California in the House in 2021 to become the CEO of Trump's company. That'll be one he wished he had back, but that's okay. He was a shitty representative anyway. Now, after the filing showed the staggering loss, Trump's media stock shares dropped. As of Friday, shares have fallen to about $40 a share, rose as high as $79.38 during its first week of trading. So it's almost been cut in half. Despite reporting a $58 million loss, former President Trump has continued to tout the platform. And therein lies one of the problems. He's going to keep ranting and raving about how great this platform is and how successful it is when it's not true. And the SEC looks at this as kind of pumping up the stock. And frankly, pumping up the stock is illegal. Donald Trump's used to owning everything outright, doing whatever the hell he wants, lie, cheat, steal. But when you're a public company regulated by the SEC, you can't do that shit. And I don't think Donald Trump realizes that or cares. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but Donald Trump will fuck it up. This whole company will end up folding and dying. It can't continue to lose money like it did last year, and it's going to lose money again this year. They've done nothing to improve the situation. They don't have more users, which is the essence of what they need to do to make money. So they can talk shit, they can be hopeful, lie and cheat and steal, but the facts are the facts, and as I've said before, the numbers don't lie. If you don't have the numbers, that's what's fucking going on. Now, here's a story I've heard, and I don't quite understand it, so let's try to figure this out. President Joe Biden may face complications getting on Ohio's 2024 general election ballot unless Democrats make changes or the state legislature takes action, according to a letter issued by the Office of Ohio's Secretary of State, Frank LaRose. Now, according to Ohio law, there's an August 7th deadline to certify a presidential candidate to this office. But this year's Democratic National Convention, where delegates officially select the party's nominee for president and vice president, starts August 19th. You don't think the Democrats thought about that, do you? I would think so. Paul DeSantis, chief legal counsel for the Ohio Secretary of State, laid out options for getting Biden on the ballot in a Friday letter addressed to the Ohio Democratic Party chairwoman, Liz Walters. Do you really think Donald Trump, or not Donald Trump, Joe Biden's not going to be on the ballot in Ohio? Does anybody believe that? Again, this is people just looking for things to worry about, things to throw out there to make you nervous. Do you really think the sitting president of the United States is not going to be on the ballot in Ohio? That's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, so the convention is after the date. You don't think they'll figure that out? You don't think they'll get that squared away? There's some workaround for it. It's ridiculous, and I don't even know why these people are getting others upset about this situation. Now, the quote goes on to say, I'm left to conclude that the Democratic National Committee must either move up its nominating convention or the Ohio General Assembly must act by May 9th, 2024, 90 days prior to a new law's effective date to create an exception to the statutory requirement. We're looking into the matter, Ohio Democratic Party Communications Director Matt Keyes told CNN. Now, a spokesperson for the Biden campaign said, we're monitoring the situation in Ohio, and we're confident that Joe Biden will be on the ballot in all 50 states. Former President Donald Trump beat Biden in Ohio by more than 8% in 2020. That may change. And the reason it may change is, first of all, he'll be on the ballot. Come on, please. Are we really worried about this? There isn't going to be something figured out for this? That's absolutely silly to think. But we know the abortion issue is a big issue all throughout the country. We know that Ohio is Republican. We talked to Tammy Wilson. She's noting that there is some more blue coming in. But the fact of the matter is, as red as Ohio State or Ohio, the state of Ohio is, we know when they put the abortion issue on the ballot, people voted to make abortion legal, to the chagrin of the Republican legislature, the governor, or whoever. So if people are pushing back against the overturning of Roe v. Wade and Donald Trump happens to be the one person who says, it's all me, I did it, how you think he's going to do? You think he's going to beat Biden there? I got to tell you, if you support pro-choice, you're not going to vote for Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump was supposed to come out with his stance on abortion, supposedly this coming week. You want to bet he doesn't? Because he can't win either way. If he goes for 16 weeks or 15 weeks, he pisses off the evangelicals and the pro-lifers. If he says he wants a national ban, then 70% of the country hate his guts. I mean, even more so than they already do. I don't think he's going to answer that question. He's going to say, well, we'll do that next week. We had this thing when I worked with a government agency here in Minnesota. You would always, you know, when you're waiting to hear on something, they'd say, oh, we'll have something on that in 2 weeks. And after that's happened many times, eventually we come to the realization that when somebody says, we'll get that to you in 2 weeks, that's basically like saying, fuck off, because you're never going to get it. Donald Trump did that with infrastructure. He did it with healthcare. He's going to do it with this because no matter how he answers, it's going to go badly for him. All right. House Intelligence Committee Chair Mike Turner said Sunday that Russian propaganda has absolutely seeped its way into Congress, saying some of his Republican colleagues have repeated false claims on the chamber's floor. Well, we know that the Republicans are heavily influenced by Russia. which is ironic because if you go back to the old days when I was a younger man and you look at Ronald Reagan, who everybody these days reveres, he hated the fucking Russians. Every Republican hated the Russians. So why is it different now? It's troubling now because, of course, they want to overturn elections and undermine democracy. And then it makes sense that they would find Russians appealing. But we need to talk about that a lot. People have to understand how scary a situation that is when you start sidling up with Russians, especially Vladimir Putin. Now, he went on to say, it's absolutely true. We see directly coming from Russia attempts to mask communications that are anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia messages, some of which we even hear being uttered by the House floor. The Ohio Republican told this to Jake Tapper on the State of the Union on CNN. Turner's comments come after House Foreign Affairs Chair Michael McCaul's told Puck News last week that Russian propaganda has infected a good chunk of the GOP base. Turner's been outspoken advocate of passing additional aid to embattled Ukraine, said Sunday. There are members of Congress today who still incorrectly say that this conflict between Russia and Ukraine is over NATO, which, of course, it's not. To the extent that this propaganda takes hold, it makes it more difficult for us to really see this as an authoritarian versus democracy battle, which is essentially what it was. Now, the Senate passed a $95.3 billion foreign aid bill that included assistance for Ukraine and Israel in February. But House Speaker Mike Johnson, whose future as a leader in the party is a little uncertain at this point, following Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to oust him, he so far refused to bring this package for a vote. And if he doesn't put it up for a vote, it doesn't get passed and help for Israel and Ukraine does not happen. Trust me, this is putting a lot of pressure on Donald Trump, or not Donald Trump, on the Republicans in general, because they are going to be held responsible for any bad things that happen in Ukraine. Turner said Sunday he does not believe Johnson is at any risk of being ousted by the Chaos Caucus, pointing to members who are seeking attention for themselves and trying to stop all of the important work in Congress. Yeah, we've talked about this before. They double down, triple down, quadruple down. They act tough, but when it comes down to nut-cutting time, they fold. Mike Johnson's going to fold. There's going to be some bill for funding Ukraine and Israel. It's going to happen. And then MAGA's going to get butthurt and threaten to take Mike Johnson off his perch. But they won't do it because they don't have any alternatives. They have nobody that they can put up to win the Speaker of the House. Fact is, the one person that has the most likelihood of being voted Speaker of the House, if they do such a thing, is probably Hakeem Jeffries. Are they willing to burn it all down? Well, fuck, they might as well. It's a disaster at this point. They might as well burn it down and hope for something better coming in 2024, which they won't get because they are going to get absolutely destroyed in 2024. Now, Donald Trump got himself in trouble a little bit. Donald Trump took to Truth Social on Sunday to endorse a Republican lawmaker, but the former president's own fans rejected the suggestion. Trump frequently makes endorsements on social media platform True Social, and this recently went public. On Sunday, he endorsed Tony Wide, Brett Finstad, Pete Stauber, and Tom Emmer in hopes that they will succeed in their races. Tom Emmer, and I think Pete Stauber, is our reps in Minnesota. Both pieces of shit. Tom Emmer, especially. You might remember the name Tom Emmer. He was the choice for Speaker of the House before Mike Johnson. He didn't have a prayer. He fucking bailed early because he knew there was no hope. Yeah, the MAGA folks don't like Tom Emmer, and I'm not sure because he's almost as bad as they are. Now, for the most part, Trump supporters lapped up the new endorsements, but there was one exception. Trump promoted Tom Emmer as a fantastic representative of Minnesota's 6th congressional district, saying he's doing an incredible job as the majority whip for the House of Representatives. He said, Tom has worked with us really well over the past 6 months because he understands we can win Minnesota for the first time since 1972. I'm in Minnesota. You don't have a fucking prayer. You really don't. He said, and Donald Trump said, of course, I think we won last time because of all the fraud in Minnesota. There was no fraud in Minnesota. He said, Tom is fighting hard to secure our borders, stop illegal immigration, grow the economy, cut taxes, and protect and defend our always under siege Second Amendment. Tom Emmer has my complete and total endorsement. But Trump opposed Emmer in the race for speaker. That's weird. Ultimately endorsing Mike Johnson's bid instead, and the former president fans aren't so quick to forget. Now, one person said, nope, Emmer is a rhino, works with McCarthy. That was one Truth Social user. Emmer needs to be primaried by MAGA, another user added. And one other says, Emmer sucks, he's uniparty. Yeah, I don't know if any of that's true, but it's ironic. It's ironic that Donald Trump would endorse him and his fans hate the motherfucker. Honestly, I wish Tom Emmer would lose his next election and never come back. He is a loudmouth, boisterous, stupid motherfucker. He should go the way of Dean Phillips. I dislike both of them in different ways. Dean Phillips is not running for re-election, and Tom, you maybe should take your sorry ass back to Minnesota. Where, you know, you're outside the metro someplace, you can sit there and worry about the border. Yeah, this guy's got a lot of input on the border, living in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota. All right, let's talk about Florida a bit as we get down to the late stages of this podcast. Judge Cannon, Aileen Cannon down in Florida, latest order chastising Special Counsel Jack Smith in Donald Trump's criminal case over stashed classified documents contains some language that might come back to haunt her, according to a former federal prosecutor. Cannon, who has been accused of favoritism in her rulings in favor of ex-President Donald Trump, who appointed her to the bench, has previously been reversed by an appeals court that found she gave Trump improper deference during the investigation phase of the case. Case is now going to make its way to the 11th Circuit again, according to former federal prosecutor Joyce Vance. We've been waiting for this. When is he going to go, Jack Smith, going to go to the 11th Circuit and get this bitch kicked out? Looks like we're getting closer and closer to that. And when it does, Vance warns some of Cannon's words will likely come back to haunt her. In a post published on her Substack page on Sunday, Vance said, Cannon's courtroom is increasingly reminiscent of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, where important matters are upside down. We don't know if it's a matter of her ignorance or her incompetence or her favoritism or a combination of both. Vance further delves into the history of the documents case, where the most recent major development was Cannon's response to Smith's argument that she should rule on Trump's Presidential Records Act motion. That's a funny one. The thing about it is Donald Trump keeps saying he could do all the things he did with those documents because of the Presidential Records Act. The fact of the matter is what the Presidential Records Act says is exactly the opposite. Donald Trump is trying to gaslight and hoodwink people. So Jack Smith wants that ruled on prior to the trial. And while Judge Cannon did rule on it prior to the trial, she left it open to revisit it after the trial. Therein lies the problem. If she does it before the trial, then we can take it to the 11th Circuit and Jack Smith can get her recused. But once they're in the trial, they can't do anything. They're stuck. Fact is, Aileen Cannon could dismiss the case and there would be no place to go because of double jeopardy. So Jack Smith is trying to weigh this out and figure out the best way to do it. And I got to be honest with you, I don't have too much confidence in people in in D.C. But I do have confidence in Jack Smith that he knows what he's doing. And even if I didn't, I have no choice. I have to trust his abilities because he's all we got at this point. All right, wrapping up the podcast, U.S. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene on Sunday doubled down on her stance that recent earthquakes and eclipses are signs for those of us who believe to repent. Oh, the earthquake was obviously a surprise, but the eclipse, that's a surprise. We haven't known about this for years. Raw Story recently reported that Greene on Friday had issued the stern warning on social media after a magnitude 4.8 earthquake rumbled East Coast cities from Philadelphia to Boston, and 3 days before a solar eclipse has slated to cross over the Northern Hemisphere. Oh my God, it's Armageddon. Now, after receiving plenty of flack for that remark, she decided to double down, as they do. Greene, who received a community notes fact check from the X platform for her comment, wrote the following. Many have mocked and scoffed at this post and even put community notes. Jesus talked about that in Luke 12:54-56. Yes, eclipses are predictable and earthquakes happen, and we know when comets are passing by. However, God created all of these things and uses them to be signs for those of us who believe. Really? You know what we may want to do is, if this moon is going to go in front of the sun today, and we fear that it's going to cause something bad, maybe we use the Jewish space lasers to shoot down the moon. That might be a good idea. That might fucking work. Now, the fact is she got even more pushback because of those comments. U.S. Navy veteran Jared Ryan Sears wrote, so you're doubling down by saying that you're God, when forming the universe over 14 billion years ago, planned out that Americans would become more tolerant and accepting of those different than themselves in 2024, something Jesus taught people to do. So God planned a minor New Jersey earthquake and a solar eclipse in order to tell Americans to vote for Trump so that we could usher in the era of hatred, bigotry, and suffering. Yeah, that sounds like what she's saying. He went on to say, yeah, that makes sense. It makes your initial tweet better. He added with sarcasm, former state Senate candidate Christopher Heyer also chimed in. Stop the nonsense and do something effective with your time. Go pass legislation. Spreading fear with the end times rhetoric won't go unchecked. The United States is already divided. We don't need our elected leaders to further that division. Grow up and change your ways. Representative Ted Lieu of California said he linked an article on lightning lighting up Lady Liberty. Such a fucking joke. Such an absolute fucking joke. And the sad thing is, when her election comes up in 2024, November, coming up here in a few months, she'll probably get reelected because she's in a district with a bunch of dumb fucks, a bunch of redneck dumb fucks. And that's in Georgia. And I love Georgia. But as in all states, there are sections of area where you have groupings of dumb fucks. And unfortunately for this country, and fortunately for Marjorie Taylor Greene, these dumb fucks happen to be in her district. You know what, to be perfectly honest with you, when the Democrats take the House and the Senate, I'd rather have her still there because she's going to get pounded. And when she does something stupid, they will actually boot her out of Congress because the Democrats will have the power to do that. All right. We are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.